Well, good morning, North Langley. Welcome. I want to add my welcome to all of you watching on our live stream, and welcome to all of you who are gathered here this morning. Thank you for being here. And it is my absolute joy to introduce Dr. Robbie Ray to you, to all of you who may not know him. Now, some of you may know him because you've been part of this church for like 30, 40, 50 years, something.
Or like 23, I think.
23 years. Yeah. So they've been part of our family for 23 years and raised their two great kids here. And Robbie works at Trinity Western, and he's part of student development there at Trinity Western. And In our world, here at the church, he is one of our elders. He sits on our elder board, and he's the moderator of our elder board. And I have just, throughout many years, starting off with being counseled by Robbie and Sue, with Tanya and I early before we got married, just coming to them for advice and wisdom, all the way till now, feeling so encouraged by him as the head of our elder board. I'm just so delighted that you get to hear from him today. And when I thought about, we wanted to talk about memorization, when I thought about scripture memory, I thought about Robbie. And I thought about how he lives this. And I want you to know that he totally loves God's word. And he has memorized God's word. And I'm just delighted to hear what God's going to say through you. So can we pray for you?
You bet.
Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity this morning to hear what you have placed on Robbie's heart. And Lord, I pray that you would inspire him today, give him clarity of thought as he preaches from your word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide all of us into a love of memorization, of putting your word to memory in our own hearts and minds. And so we thank you, we love you, and we dedicate this time to you. Amen.
Amen. All right, Jesus, I pray that is true. Thank you all so much for being here. I do appreciate Matthew showing a measure of restraint. He's a big fan of the Oklahoma Sooner football team, which happened to play Texas Tech football team yesterday, and it didn't go particularly well for Texas Tech, so I appreciate him. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, and I'm just chalking it up to that. So anyways, thank you all so much for being here, and those who are watching in, it's great to have you here. It really is one of the great privileges of my life, and Sue as well, for us to be a part of serving here at the church and the various capacities that we serve in. It really does connect us to something that we think is meaningful, and when I think about what gives my life meaning, I think of this church and how God is using this church and using us in this church, and how our kids have been affected and are connected in different ways. So it really is a great privilege to be a part of this. So I come to these moments always kind of like, oh, nervous, because I care so much about what the well-being of this church and how we can contribute to that well-being. So let me just add my own quick prayer here. Lord, I pray that you, through what has been said and sung, that you would use me to serve your purposes in this moment with these people. I pray that we learn to love your word, to not just say we love it, but to really love it, and to that gets worked out in the realities of our lives. We want to take that seriously and be a people who are known by that. I pray that you would help me in my own weakness in this moment to share what you have, and we dedicate and give you this space in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, I do want to mention, if you guys have not picked up on one of these, these are available if you're here in the foyer. They're available online, and they give you lots of tips on how you can take the next step in understanding God's word. And if you go to about page 6, there's some tips on memorization. So I'll point you to that and memorize a few things. I will remind you about a few things related to memory towards the end, memorizing scripture. So I work at Trinity Western University, and I have done that for a long time. And one of the things, if you're coming to Trinity and you are going to speak to Trinity students, you say, hey, give me a tip. What would you tell me? And I would say, you got to start with why. If you don't start with why with university students, even if you've got a really big degree and you've done this for a long time and, you know, you got a lot of books you've written, if you can't start with why, then sometimes they just check out, because you got to connect to why. Because if you can connect to why, then you have covered a lot of ground. And you, at that point, people will be willing to take a step in some direction. So for the few minutes we have here, I want to do that. I want to try to get at the notion of why memorize scripture, because if you get the why in place, I think so much of the work around how is already answered. So that's what I want to do here today. So thanks so much for engaging in this conversation. I want to make a statement that I believe is true, that memorizing scripture and meditating on it, I think this week and next week will kind of be part one and part two of the same message, is a gateway to deepening your experience of God. This is a gateway to deepening your experience with God. And as I have prepared for this, I've just found this again to be true in my own life as I've thought about it, that it is key to, I think, moving forward to the place that God is calling us all to. But I know that there's a couple of objections that probably people have here and say, hey, Rob, newsflash, it's 2020. Nobody memorizes anything anymore. And so we've all got our phones. Not sure if you're familiar with this device here. This is something I think we all have, that we don't have to memorize this. And this is a thing called cognitive offloading. And it's the idea that we trust other things to remember things. And the thing about this area of research is once you start, it's hard to stop. It just predisposes you to just to go to your phone for everything. So if you pull out your phone and you say, hey Siri, what are some verses in the Bible about anxiety?
Here's what I found.
Here's what you found on the web. We got 20 verses for anxiety. Or let's say, hey Siri, what's that verse in the Bible that says, come unto me all who are weary and heavy laden, or something like that? Okay, she's thinking about that, or something like
that.
Well, she sticks the landing again with Matthew 11:28. So, you know, with our phones, we can depend on them for everything. So to me, this is a bit of a headwind to the idea of memorizing something, that we don't have to memorize very much because it's so available. We have our phones next to our beds, we have them in our pockets, this always on you technology that just influences so many parts of our life. And I realize that even when we do read, we just skip through content. We don't slow down. And in so many ways, scripture memory is counter to that. So that's what I want to do, is try to make a bit of a case here. So that's one headwind, one objection that you might say. Next thing is, you may be going, you know what? I'm new to church. This is a new conversation for me. So just reading the Bible is something I'm working on, much less trying to memorize it. That's a bit of a hill too far. And I get that. I'm that way a lot of times. Thinking of memorizing the Bible, I think, oh man, I'm 56. I barely remember my kids' names, much less the Bible. It's so hard to memorize something from scratch these days. So I can totally understand. But what I do know, though, is if you are listening to this message and you're connecting with our church, there is something in you that wants to know God, that wants to have a touch from God, that wants to have in some way connect to what you believe is bigger and transcendent in your life. So if that's the case, and if you have people in your life that you love, that you care for, maybe it's children, neighbors, colleagues, small pets, things like that, that if that is the case, by meditating and focusing your life on the Word of God, I guarantee that those things that you love, that your heart is drawn for, that God will speak to you about those, that there are truths there that connect to those things that you care about. So to me, the idea of, I know it's hard to memorize things. Listen, again, the older you get, the more challenging it is, but it is so worth it. So before we move on, I've got three quick points, and then that will be it for today. I want to say one other thing, and this is with the idea of scripture memory, because I have been in church for a lot of my life, that one of the things that we have to keep in mind is that memorizing scripture in and of itself is not the big win. It's a great thing. It's a glorious thing, but that in and of itself is not the big deal. Jesus speaks very directly in Matthew 23. If you want to see this in Technicolor, just take a look at Matthew 23. But Jesus has no patience for people who may understand a ton of the law. And this was the case with so many of the religious leaders of his day. They memorized enormous passages of the Old Testament. if it was about scripture memory, they had that part down. But what they didn't do, they would not apply it in the way that it was intended. They would not bring restoration and newness and hope. They would just pile these things on people where they just felt like, oh, we've got these loads. And Jesus had no patience for that. The goal of scripture memory is that through, it's not a to thing, it's a through thing. It's through scripture memory that at that point we can begin to put the principles that are in the Bible in place, because that in the end connects you to this experience of God that I talked about to begin with. So that is so key, because Jesus, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, so some of his most influential teaching, he sits down from Matthew 5 to Matthew 7 and lays out so many things that influence the way we think about Christianity. But the way that he ends that message is by saying, the person who takes these words and puts them into practice is like the person who builds their house on the rock. The rains came, the floods descended, the winds blew, but that house stood. So Jesus is saying that knowing God's word, meditating on it, absolutely, but to the end result of putting it into practice, because it's once we do that, then I think we gain an understanding of what that scripture means, and it's an iterative process. Then we want to understand it better, then we live it out, and it just forms this virtuous circle of activity in our life. So I think that needs to be stated to begin with. That is not the goal, to memorize a bunch of things, but it's to do that so that we can live in a different way and that the people around us are affected and God can use us in his work in the world. Okay, so what I want to do is I've got three verbs that will capture this. So I'm going to build off this idea of why, try to build a case again why it's important, then give you some practical tips. Then at the end, I'll summarize those practical tips about if you wanted to take a step forward, how maybe you can do that. And those verbs are directing, they are tasting, and running. Okay, to begin with, directing. This is a verse that you're going to see later. If you're following along in this guide here, it's going to be referenced a bit later. I think it's week 8 or 9, and encourage you to memorize, just like we've been working on the Psalm 86 verse. And it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, who does not stand in the path of sinners, does not sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which does not fail to bear fruit. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. So this idea of the person that meditates on God's word, memorizes it, meditates on it, slows down and focuses on it, is like a tree planted by streams of water. I love that picture. I think that is a compelling picture. And what that means is, as we do this, as we stop and we work at memorizing scripture, meditating on it, the roots of our lives, to use that metaphor, are drawn towards these things that are true. We start to realize, okay, this is true and right and pure and good, and that is what my life is drawn towards. And when we do that, then our heart begins to be bent to those same things. This is how formation happens. This is how you and I become more and more like Jesus, is that we begin to think, our lives begin to be focused on truth, and we think about the things that are right and pure. You know, Romans 12:2 says, do not be transformed by this world, but do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This idea of how we think and the things that we focus on shape, and our roots are directed towards that. I grew up on a cotton farm in Texas. You may have picked up. I've got a Texas accent, I'm told. I don't think I do, but anyways, that's not the point. That cotton and soybeans, that's what the farm that I grew up on was a row crop, so which that means it's grown in rows. It's a very complex agricultural paradigm I just laid down there. But yes, it's a row crop, and they're in rows. It's how it's harvested. And what we would do to irrigate is every second row is what you'd put the water down that you would irrigate the crop. So those plants, over time, as you irrigated them, the roots would be drawn towards the water, that they would begin to orient themselves to that water. And to me, that is the picture of what I'm looking at here, is this idea of, as we focus on God's word, then the things that we think about, we begin to think, you know what, I want the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart to be acceptable to you. I want to do that. So I have to take lying seriously. I have to take gossip seriously. I have to take all of these things differently. It changes the way that I'm thinking. So to me, this is a great way to start to do this, is particularly when you wake up in the morning, like that's the best time for me, and when you fall asleep, is take some time to focus on a passage that you're trying to memorize. I'm going to come back to this in the end, but to me, those beginning and end points can be so helpful when you think about the day ahead of you and you think about the day behind you to capture this, because it slows us down. And again, in that the way of thinking, it gives us words to say something. One, I like to run, and I get up early to run. So I head out when it's still dark, put my headlamp on, and I run over. And sometimes I run over the bridge in Fort Lang over to Bray Island, which is an island. If you go left down to the very tip, there's this little sort of spit of sand that goes out. And when the river is down, you can walk all the way out there. So I go out there, it's about a little before 6 in the morning. I click off my headlight, and I'm, you know, you're almost surrounded 360 degrees by the river. And I, in that moment, as I just look at the stars above and I look at the lights around, that passage, I just can't help but say, teach me your way, O Lord. Help me to walk in your truth. Please save me from a divided heart, and I want to fear your name. And then Psalm 86:11 that we're memorizing together that I just referenced there. And then verse 12, which I think is so awesome, if you can tack that on. I give thanks to you, my Lord and my God, with all of my heart, and I will glorify your name forever. Man, in that moment, that passage gives me the words to express what my heart feels. I just cannot help in that moment to say, thank you, Jesus, so much that I have legs to run, that I have lungs that work, that I live in this place, that I've given so much, that those truths, that reality, as I've tried to memorize that passage and to understand his truths and to walk in it, they allow me to express something that's inside of me, so my heart is bent towards it, so I understand it, and then my heart connects to it. So to me, that's the beginning, is it directs us, the idea of directing. Next, tasting. So as I mentioned, one of the things that memorizing scripture, that meditating on it, it's like it turns my head a certain way, which if my head turns, if I look this way long enough, eventually my body lines up with what my head is turned toward. That is the way, and the things that I love, my heart is directed towards that. But also, one of the things that it's so key in that moment, it's not just that I have read those words, but it's in those moments that I reflect on it, that I stop, that I begin to experience that passage of scripture in a way that I wouldn't if I had just sort of, you know, scrolled my way past it, that I engage it in a deep and meaningful way. Here's a perfect example of this. One of the things that you need to know about me, if you're around me, and my wife who's here would attest to this, that I am, by my nature, a bit of a tightwad. I do not like to spend money. This was a few years ago. This is a classic story of me, okay? Is that I had a medical procedure done. It's one of these day trips. So you go in, you get anesthetized, and you get it done. You come out. So I don't remember anything. My wife wheels me out of the hospital in a wheelchair, loads me into the car. I don't remember anything. I am out of it. And we get ready to pay. We go to the pay booth, and they say it's like $28. And at that moment, I raised from the dead and said, what? $28? Which is just classic me. So you got to understand, that sets up where I'm headed with my illustration here. Is that one of the things, I never paid for like really good chocolate. I always bought just the Dollarama's version of chocolate is right up my alley. I'm paying just what I think I ought to pay for chocolate bars, right? So that's the case. And I know that the kind of chocolate we all eat yesterday, those little chocolate nuggets or whatever, you know, the fun size, whatever that means, candy. That was where I lived my whole life. But someone bought me one time really good chocolate. And let me tell you, I gained a view into a vista I had never known before. It's one of these, you pop it in and you don't just get it down, which it always been, you just let it sit there and it takes you to a place. There were these, they talk about tones of chocolate. I had no concept what that even meant. I understood the flavor of this chocolate and nuance in a way that I never did before. So to me, that gives me a picture of what this is, that in this, when we stop and we reflect and we go over a passage of Scripture and we ask God to reveal to us, that it's like we're letting chocolate melt in our mouth, really good chocolate that just is like, oh, yes, I didn't, I would never have thought of that. And it takes us to a place. And this is a very important concept here that I want to say, that this is true of all of the sessions that we've been doing here, the sermon series that we're in. And this is especially true if you're new to Christianity, if you're old to Christianity. The words of the Bible here are not just words on a page. We use tools, like Matthew did a great job previewing those yesterday. If you're going to study the Bible, here's some tools and ways that you can study it, and the idea of, you know, the idea of exegesis, drawing. What does this mean, and how can I make sure that I'm understanding this correctly? Those tools. But it's not just me rolling up my sleeves and doing that. That process that we just described is also a process that the Spirit is at work in my life. This is true for all things, but for reading the Bible, that the Spirit is at work helping me understand. And when Jesus was about to leave this earth, and he's talking about that he's going to leave, but the Holy Spirit is going to come after him, in John 16, he says that he will send the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to guide us into all truth. And this process of understanding, what does this mean for me, and how can I take this, how can I appropriate this, this is the role of the Spirit. The Spirit is at work as we memorize and we meditate. It is a place where we encounter the Holy Spirit. Because so many people have had opportunities. You read the Bible and you think, wow, this is for me. The end of Romans 8, that I'm convinced neither life, death, you know, angels, principalities, things present, things to come, nothing can separate me from the love of God. I so needed to hear that. That is a word of God for me. Somebody prays for you and they say just the right word that is what you needed. Or I know so many times people have said to Matthew, oh, Matthew, I think it's like you were speaking just to me. It's like, well, Matthew's a great speaker, but Matthew would be the first person to tell you it's not him. It's his regularly asking God to help him. You take my words and use them with the work of the Spirit to make a difference in people's lives. That is this process of tasting, is the work that we have, but allowing the Spirit to reveal himself to us. And I know that that can be difficult sometimes. You think, I read this and I don't get anything. Why? How come that is? I have had times like that too, but I want to tell you that if you position yourself there and you say, Jesus, I don't have a lot in this moment, but whatever, I want you to take this little bit and somehow speak to me. I am convinced that he will in time. You keep putting yourself in the right place. He will in time. And surround yourself with people that help in that process. That's going to be a focus in a couple of weeks here, the role that community plays. So, perfect example from my own life. I was both my wife and I, before we got married, we were living very different places. I was living in Florida, and she was living in British Columbia, and we were both in our 30s. And when you get in your 30s and you're not married, you can start going, okay, I hope I get married one day, because, you know, you starting to sweat that a little bit more than you did in your 20s. So I had a time that I just had to get over this fear that I was facing. So I took a time and prayed. And what's so interesting, Sue did the exact same thing. We didn't even know each other. Another part of the country around a similar time. And God, I had read Isaiah 54 so many times. But this passage, Isaiah 54:10, it says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, or my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. As I went through it and I said, okay, Jesus, God, your unfailing love for me will not be shaken. And I just would say that. Your unfailing love for me will not be shaken. Your unfailing love for me will not be shaken. Your unfailing love for me will not be shaken. This taking it one word at a time and just focusing on it, highlighting it, and then reading it out. To me, that is what I needed in that moment. There was no guarantee that I was going to get married, but what was guaranteed that God had compassion on me and his covenant of peace would be renewed. I didn't have to worry or be afraid of what that meant, what this would mean for me. So I encourage you to do that, is to take this, to me, this is a classic way that we memorize scriptures, to take it slowly, put the emphasis on a word, and then read it out. Put an emphasis on the next word, read it out, And I believe in those moments you really can do that. We won't take the time to do this because we're running a little short on time, but Psalm 103, verse 8, I believe, so good for this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. 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 And as you do this, putting emphasis on one word at a time, it just, you begin to get into the rhythm of it and feel what this, the pulse of this promise that he has for us. So, directing, tasting, and finally running. I, as I have mentioned earlier, I'm a runner, and one of the things that has always impressed me is the Bible has so many metaphors about running. It connects to the idea of running in a lot of different places, the Old Testament and the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9, it talks about run the race with endurance. Hebrews 12 says that we are to lay aside every encumbrance and run the race that it, run with endurance, the race set out for us. And to me, that just connects with something I really like. At Trinity, where I attend, I work with people who attend Trinity Western, is I work with the track and field team. Now, when you hear me say the word work with the track and field team, what that means is I'm a number one fan, I cheer them on, and I pray for them. That's about it. So don't get the idea that I'm just, you know, Olympic coach. So if you want me to break that race down for you, I'll be happy to do that. That's not what you want me to do. You just want me to cheer and pray. So one of the things about running, if particularly with distance running, if you are not sure you have what it takes in this race, one of the pieces of advice they will give you is they say, find the person that you feel is going to push you, that's not going to blow you up, meaning it's going to, you know, completely waste you in the race, but somebody that's going to push you that you can stick with. And they say, stay on that person's shoulder. What that means is if this is the person, you offset just a little bit so you don't get tangled up in their legs. And all you worry about is staying the same distance to their shoulder. The misery you're going to go through, you can push that to the side if you can just stay on that person's shoulder. And to me, this is an important image as we wrap up here is, as we memorize the truth of God, that we are lining our lives up behind that truth. There's a great passage that Pastor Tim shared with me as we talked this week. It says, I run in the paths of your command, for you have broadened my understanding. This notion that the commands of God provide a path for us, that if we line ourselves up behind that, we stay on the shoulder of God in those times, that we are protected. The notion that your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against thee, Psalm 119:11, exactly the case that as we embrace it, that we then, we don't want to do anything that would pull us off of this. We want to line ourselves up behind this. And to me, particularly as a parent or a grandparent, I really want you to catch this. This is some great advice that I wish I had gotten before our kids were grown. Is this person said, when they stop and change the diaper of one of their little kids or grandkids, it motivated them to memorize this Psalm 103:8 passage, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Whenever they would take the few moments to change that diaper, and the first thing in the morning at night, they would quote this verse over them. As this, because the kid's just sitting there, they're not going to go anywhere, and you're doing this, so you're not going to go anywhere. In that moment, I would encourage you, if you have children that are that age, memorize a passage of Scripture and every day just pray this over that child. Maybe as you nurse them, if you're nursing them, anything that where you have their time, their focus, attention, and they don't go anywhere. To me, that is a great way to line up your prayers behind what God wants for that child. And I think, to me, this idea of run, that is a perfect example of running in the path of his commands, is lining ourselves up behind that. So to me, that will make your influence all that it needs to be. When you do that, you will begin to live out Philippians 4. And this is something that we have prayed for our kids, no doubt, hundreds of times. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is excellent, whatever is commendable, if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on those things. If we, as we memorize that, we pray that over the people that we care about, we pray that over our own lives, then we do line up behind that. So, directing, tasting, and running. To me, answer the question of why, because they will shape and form our lives in real ways that influence us to become the person that God wants us to be. I want to end with a couple of practical points too here in just a little bit of time left. One, young people. I see a few young people here. Let me just tell you, as someone who was young and now is older, you have a capacity to memorize now that you will not have over your life. One of the things that is, I tell people again and again, what is something that you can do now really well and easily that you will not be able to do later? One of those is to memorize scripture. So I encourage you, if you're adolescent, if you're in high school, junior high, and university student, don't waste this time to memorize, because you have a capacity, you have a neurological capacity to absorb things in a way that you will not be able to do at other times. So if you're young, I encourage you to do that. And if you're a parent of somebody, help them in that. Set a goal and review it each day. That is my tactic, is I say, okay, I want to know half of this verse by the time I get up from this chair. So I make it small things, small bite-sized packages, not too big, but just make little places, and I set a goal and I try to memorize it. So key for me. And saying the words aloud, don't just read it, because that's one of the things, it's something about saying it, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, that voicing it, it allows me to remember it more readily. So as you're memorizing it, speak it out loud. Next, so important to say it to another person. That adds a little bit of accountability that makes such a difference. So the idea of finding a spouse, a friend, a parent, anybody to say this to them provides a way for you to operationalize it. To me, to say it, and I think it helps you apply it in another way. And I think it can be an encouragement to the person. And finally, connect the verses to a priority in your life, meaning if you want, for like with parenting, with one of your children, maybe it's with the change that somebody in your life that you care about wants to make, something you want to see happen in your own life. Look at those verses and connect them. Pick verses to begin with that connect to those priorities, and it'll give you this inherent motivation to do it, where you're not just memorizing it for its sake, but you're doing it for that to occur. So those are my practical tips. I'm going to pass a few of these there's some websites that can help on this. There's a Bible memory app that you can get on your phone. Spotify has a scripture memory music list that you can form. There's lots of great resources, and Tim is going to be posting those later today and throughout the week. So I encourage you, if this is something that you think, I really should give this a try, don't just think it and not act on it. Take a step. We've got some great verses that the church is suggesting here with our focus, and keep that moving through your life. And I know that it will be transformative, and you'll gain an experience of God that you would not otherwise have. All right, let's pray, and then we're going to have a time of communion to follow. Jesus, we say again that we acknowledge that you are good and true, that your word is right and pure, and that we want to live lives that reflect that, and not just say it, but where we live it out. We readily acknowledge that we can be halting in that we don't live up to what we want to do, but we want that to be true, that our mind to be formed and our hearts to be directed towards the highest and best things. So Jesus, thank you again for this time that we have together. I pray that you would help us, strengthen us in this, help us to love your word and to live that out in the realities of our lives. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.